let's kick off our last week of Shir, continuing with those things that an Avel is not allowed to do. So today we're going to begin with Netilas Tziparnayim, with cutting fingernails. The Braisa in Moed Katan Adaf Yud Zayinam Beis tells us that Rabbi Yossi allows cutting fingernails, and the Gemara paskins like Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says that it's Mutter Bein Bishal Yadayim, Bein Bishal Raglayim. Fingernails, toenails, all Mutter to cut when one is an Avel. The Gemara also says that it's only Mutter, though, if you do it with a Shinoi. So what's a Shinoi? Like you remove your fingernails with your teeth. The Rambam paskins in Perikei Halacha Beis that if you remove fingernails with your teeth or by peeling one fingernail with the other, it's mutter, and that's what the Ramban says as well in Taras HaAdam. The Rif, and Dafyur Amaralf, B'Dapi Arif, quotes Yesh Omrim, that yeah, all of this discussion, the Gemara never clarifies when. Are we talking about during Shiva? Are we talking about during Shloshim? When exactly is this? So the Rif points out that Yesh Omrim, that it's only mutter la'achar Shiva, betoch Shiva, it's aser, even al yedei Yeshinoi, but the Rif himself and the Ramban are machriya that it's mutter even betoch Shiva, that this heter even applies betoch Shiva. There's another machlokas rishonim, if after Shiva you're allowed to do it without a Shinoi, meaning if you say that the heter of doing it with a Shinoi is betoch Shiva, so what does that mean for after Shiva? What does that mean for betoch Shloshim? That it's mutter legamri, or that then also you still need to employ a Shinoi? The Torah quotes a Ritzgeus and a Bahag and a Smag that paskin that it's mutter even without a Shinoi during Shloshim, and the Ramban says that you require a Shinoi. So the Beis Yosef just points out that the Rif and the Rambam hold that you need a Shinoi, and that's how he paskins. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber paskins that betoch Shiva, la'achar Shiva, they're both mutter only with a Shinoi. And that's what we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shechter points out that this is, this is the Chumrah that would come out from Rav Soloveitchik's equation between the 3 weeks, and meaning the 9 days, and Shloshim. That if you view the 9 days to be the same as Shloshim, it would turn out that Netilas Tziparnayim is going to be usher during the 9 days. So it may turn out that you're allowed to shower nowadays, but then you got to give up cutting fingernails. Meaning many of the other poskim that don't make that equation assume that cutting fingernails is mutter during the 9 days. They take it as davar pasha that cutting fingernails is mutter during the 9 days, but that showering is usher. But once you make that equation, then it adjusts the halachos, so it's worth it. It's worth the trade-off. I'll take the shower and I'll give up a week of cutting the fingernails. And you can still cut them with a shinoi, so if you're into biting your nails, you're still okay with that. So it's definitely worth the trade-off, but that's just the ha'ara that it would come out. I remember when I first realized this, I first chopped this, I wasn't sure whether Rav Soloveitchik held this way, and Rav Shechter wasn't home. So my father had called me. My father was in the airport. He was flying to Eretz Yisrael that night, and he said, "Oh, you'll never believe who's on my plane. Rav Shechter was on my plane." So I said, "Oh, okay. I was just wondering, if you happen to talk to him, just ask him about cutting fingernails during the 9 days." So next thing I know, I see a call coming in from my father's cell phone. I pick it up. "Hi, it's Herschel Shechter." So my father, of course, made Rav Shechter call me because he was nervous that he wouldn't have the exact get the shaila exactly correctly. But that's when he pointed this out to me. That's why sometimes, the answer you get to a shaila is more memorable based on the circumstances surrounding the shaila. That's how memory works, I guess, in general. So anyway, so the Mechaber paskins that betoch Shiva la'achar Shiva, it's only mutar al yidei shinoi. The Beis Yosef quotes Agos Maimonios that writes as follows: Isha she'ira tvilasa b'cholamoed. If a woman has to go to the mikvah in cholamoed, lo titol tziparna ba'atzma, avlomeris l'goya litol tziparna, afilu b'gusteri, dekimed amir l'goy, shvos b'makom mitzvah lo gozer. That if a woman has to go to the mikvah in cholamoed, she cannot cut her own fingernails, but she can ask a goy to do it for her. But she herself is not allowed to remove them, b'shinah b'yadah, v'chein adinim ira tvilas mitzvah toch lamed achar zayin. And the same is true if a woman has to go to the mikvah during shloshim, that she should ask a goya to do it. That's what Dagos Maimonius writes. Says Dark Emotion, Zayin says that Dafki says a goya because of Chalamoid, because anything that a Yisrael is not allowed to do, you can't ask another Jew to do to you, but Biyamei Avela, where she's the only one that's an Avela, she can ask another Jew to cut her fingers. It doesn't need to be a goya. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah Paskin over here as well. The Taz in Sivkat and Gimel asks that we should ask Ral Yidei Yisraelis because of Lifnei Iver. So he says that it's considered a Shinoi when you do it Al Yidei Yisraelis, and therefore it's mutter. mutter. It's not even lifnei iver. That's just it qualifies as a shinoi. And the Kudas HaKesef says that it's not a shinoi, and he disagrees with Rama, and he says no, it's dafka got to be a goya, and that's what the Shach writes in Sifkatan Dalid. The Taz says we don't see that women are noik to be notel tzipornayim al yedei acher during shloshim. We don't find that people do that, and the Aruch HaShulchan says the minig is litol al yedei atzma, that the minig is that that women are typically makil about this issue. So if a woman has to go to the mikveh during her shloshim, even though ideally if she wants to be yotze kol hadeo, she should have other women cut her nails for her, but if that's difficult for her, or it's uncomfortable, or the other woman is not going to do as good a job, then most of the poskim assume bizman hazeh, for whatever reason the minhag has developed, that she can do it by herself. She's allowed to cut her own fingernails. The other situation where this comes up, where it's a dvar mitzvah, is by a mayel. That's what the poskim discussed. The Raman Shin Sadi Gimel Sif Gimel says that it's mutlo the sakin hatziparnayim legaleach litzorech hamila, that he's allowed to fix his fingernails for the sake of the mila. But if there's another mayel available, then it's aser. So Rabbi Kivegr quotes in Eliyahu Rabba that it's aser all shloshim for the mayel. But nevertheless, if the mayel needs to do the bris because that's how he makes a living, so then the poskim are makel that he's allowed to cut his fingernails as well. And that's in more contemporary achronim suggest like that, that since he's not doing it stam because he wants to, he's doing it because he needs to, so he's allowed to cut his fingernails as well. So again, when it comes to cutting fingernails, long story short, bitok shiva, bitok shloshim even, you're only allowed to do it al yidei shinoi, but for a tzorich mitzvah, such as a tevila for a woman, or a moel who needs to do the mila, and he needs to use his fingernails in the process of the mila, for the priya, so then it's mutter to do even al yedei atzmo. The other exception is if the shloshim falls out on Shabbos. So a number of poskim, the Rama writes in Simon Tuf Sif Beis that paga yom lamed shel avelus b'Shabbos v'yom chavtes b'erev Shabbos mutter lo lirchutz b'erev Shabbos af b'mekom shalagim shel lirchutz kol lamed, because medina it's mutter la'achas shiva, which is that we're knowing la'achmish. So the Aruch HaShulchan says whatever is aser medina de gemara for throughout all the shloshim, like giluach and netilas tzipornayim, would be usher on erev Shabbos when the shloshim falls out on Shabbos. However, a number of achronim disagree with that. And a number of achronim, the Zera Emes in Chelek Beis and Kuflin Gimel, and a number of other achronim suggest that Chazon Avadia writes this way. Lahakal also, Rav Avadia Yosef, that if the shloshim is going to fall out on Shabbos, that just like you're allowed to bathe in advance of Shabbos, you're also allowed to cut the fingernails in advance of Shabbos. Okay, now let's move on to combing the hair. As far as combing the hair, the Beis Yosef quotes three shittos. Number one, Rabbeinu Yeruchim in the name of Rashi, that it's mutter even after Shiva because it's not a tanug and it's not a simcha. It's just a tsar not to have combed hair. That's how the Aruch HaShulchan explains it in Sif Beis. Second shita is the Mordechai in Tav Kuf Yud Zayin, and now goes Maimonios and Perikei Os Aleph, that there are those that want to aser kol shloshim. Darki Moshe Osvav Kotzer Magos Maimonios, that some aser chafifa kol shloshim mishum asrika, that the scraping of the hair is going to be aser, the combing of the hair is going to be aser for all of shloshim. Then the third sheet is the smak Simon Sadi Zayin, where he says that Surik Rosho la'achar shiva la'halach l'beis Yosef Paskins k'divra amekel ba'avel, that even betoch Shiva one is allowed to comb, and the Darkei Moshe says, but no b'lahachmir when it comes to chafifa kol shloshim, and because that's part of the iser ruchitza, that's part of the iser of bathing. So even though it sounds from the Beis Yosef that it's mutter both for a man and a woman, and the Bach and the Shach the passing this way, and the Shach Sivkat and Gimel says that, however, that the smack is matir only for an isha and not for an ish. How do we paskin? Geshra Chaim Perachaf Aleph Osir Aleph is Mekil. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah in Sharet Zion, Simin Tov Kuf Nun Aleph Sivkat and Chav Ches, says that by Avelus we are Mekil on this issue. So, long story short, when it comes to combing hair, an Avel is allowed to comb his or her hair, both man and woman, even during the Shiva. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan passes Shin Sadi Sif Beis. That's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch passes in Siman Reish Yud Aleph Sif Yud Dalid, and therefore that is the accepted, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah passes, as we pointed out in the Shaar Tzion and Tavkuf Nun Aleph Chaf Ches, and therefore that is what we paskin. Even though the Shach says that it's only mutter for an isha and not for an ish, that's what we paskin. Combing hair is 100% mutter. Now let's move on to a bal simcha. Can a bal simcha attend a simcha during his avelus? So obviously there's going to be a difference. We're going to have to assess what defines a bal simcha. How close to the simcha are you? And also we have to define how close to the avelus are you. Is it shiva? Is it shloshim? Is it yud beis chodesh? Rabbi Kiveger quotes in the name of the Eliyahu Rabba in Sim Kuf Lamed Beis Sivkat and Dalid that a chassan who's getting married betok shloshim is allowed to get a haircut, cut his fingernails on the day of the chuppah, even if he's an avel al avi v'imo. The Chassam Sofer in Yardea, Chuvis in Yardea, Simon Shin Mem Ches, says that it's pashut that biyom chasunaso mamish, it's permissible for him to get a haircut and cut his fingernails, because if they allowed him to get married b'mei avlo, even though that's also a violation of the avelus, because you're not allowed to get married either, normally, you get married with the suda, the nisu gufa is a simcha, nevertheless they were matirit, so apparently you're allowed to matir all of the associated things. So Pischichuv and Sivkanal quotes in the Yehuda Tinyana Yardes and Rishu Gimel that a Sanduk, a Moel, an Aviaben are all not allowed to get a haircut betoch shloshim, and the Sefer Pnei Baruch quotes that the Shvus Yaakov is matir for the Aviaben, even if not for the Moel and the Sanduk. So apparently the Chassan himself is allowed to get a haircut betok shloshim, and Avia Ben is allowed to get a haircut because we'd be mekel like the Shvus Yaakov, is allowed to get a haircut betok shloshim, but the Moel and the Sandik should not get a haircut betok shloshim. Now, there are other forms of simcha other than attending a wedding, and we'll get to those in a moment, to attending a wedding and attending other simchas in a moment, but there are other forms of simcha that the poskim quote talk about as well. The Tur in Simin Shin Sadi Yalv says that an avel is aser besimcha for all shloshim. So they quote the Levush in Simin Shin Sadi Yalv Sif Alv that it's a davar pashut that since he's called an avel, he's aser besimcha called shloshim, because simcha is hepach ha-avel. Avelus is the very opposite of simcha. So whatever activities are going to qualify as simcha are going to be a problem for the avel. So the Gemara in Maitkaton Chavav and Beis tells us, Amar Av Papa, Tani Bevel Rabasi, Avel lo yaniach tinok betochiko mipnei shemavi lidei schok v'nimtza miskan al abrios. One form of simcha is playing with babies. And this happens all the time. Someone is sitting shiva, the only thing that comforts them is the grandchildren come. The grandchildren, the little babies, and they come and they hold them and they play with them and they coo them. So that is technically asr. It's mevi lidei schok, it's miskan al abrios. Torah writes that it's only asr betoch shiva, and that's what the Rambam writes in Parakei of Hilchzevel as well. The Bach explains that the reason it's not asr for shloshim, l'chora, all dvarim shel simcha are asr for shloshim, so the Bach explains, because this isn't exactly the same kind of simcha that we were talking about. Di'iko chiluk bein simcha l'simcha, says the Bach. D'likach tinok b'cheiko asr kol shiva v'sulo kiven dein ele chashasha shema mitoch kach yav l'idei schok. It's not an act of schok, it's a concern that will be maybe l'idei schok. But l'karnis l'vesa mishta, to show up to a party where there's vaday simcha, that's asr kol shloshim al kol ha-mesim and al avi v'imo for yud beis chodesh. So it is only a din for shiva, but it is a din. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sif Beis is mechalek that schok that's not a simcha mamish, it's only like a little bit of simcha, is only asr betok shiva. But schok that's hepech ha-bechia, like the Paskin Kohel, seis lefkos veis l'schok, that's going to be asr for all of shloshim. And the Geshe HaChayim, he writes, he's also mechalek between schok and simcha, but he asr schok kol shloshim yom, and he says that it's mistavid that the inyan of schok is only when it's going to be heard by other people. But to smile and to laugh, that's not bechlal the isser. It's only when it's something that's going to look awkward, it's going to look unseemly to other people. That's the lashon of the Gemara, right? The Gemara is going to say it's miskan al abriel. So the person can say, what is this? Is a person in avelus, or is a person like just enjoying themselves, just having a good time? So Yeah, so this is a tricky thing. It's a very tricky thing for a person to do. So the rabbi's job is to tell the avel in advance to try to minimize as much as he can, being overly playful with the grandchildren. Hopefully, it's grandchildren and not children. That it's overly, hopefully, it's of an age where it's grandchildren or great grandchildren. So the rabbi should tell the avel that he should avoid being overly playful, certainly when other people are there, because the whole issue is miskana labrios. Certainly, while the house is full of visitors, but at the same time, you recognize that a person is human, and they're going to be limited in their ability to control it. But they should at least know that it is a value. Now, certainly, if a baby is crying, then the Badei HaShulchan writes, and it's a davar pashut, that has nothing to do with it. That to calm a baby down, to take a baby because the baby's kvetchy or crying and just needs to calm down, that's totally. So that's as far as holding a baby. What about going to a party? What about going to a wedding? So this is a much broader discussion. The Brais and Daf Chav Beis and Beis tells us Al Kala Mason Kulan Nichnas the Beis Hamishta Lachar Lamid Yom Alavim Alachar Yud Beis Chodesh. That it's also for the duration of the Avelus. You're not allowed to go to a Beis Hamishta for however long you're in Avel. If it's Avi V'imo, it's Yud Beis Chodesh. So the Rosh writes in Simen Nun that even if it's a Shana Muberes, it's only Asr for Yud Beis Chodesh, because that's what the Gemara says. It says Yud Beis Chodesh, doesn't say Shana. The Gemara also says Simchas Mereyus is Mutali Kanis Lialter. What is Simchas Mereyus? So the Gemara says that's if you owe somebody. Meaning, apparently, it used to be because people didn't have any money and it was so expensive to buy food. Whenever you were invited to somebody, you actually owed them, like literally owed them. You it was expected you had to pay them back, not just like social etiquette kind of thing that you owe somebody an invitation, like you have nowadays. There are different types of people that invite company. Some people invite the whole world to always come, and they're just love to host people or whatever. And some people are scorekeepers. They're not going to invite you a second time until you've invited them at least once, hopefully twice. But, I mean, they have to make sure that everything's even. If it's not even, then Zello fair, and then they're not going to do it. So it used to be that the world was on a scorekeeper system, which is not like the most giving thing, but they were desperate. They had no money. So that's what the Gemara was talking about. It was Simchas Mireyus, that if you owe them, then you're allowed to do it. Don't have that anymore, so that's not something that that we would do. This time at a weekday, just time to invite friends, lav dafka on Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos company, that might be a little bit different, because when you get together with friends in general, then it's purely just socializing. But on Shabbos, it's more like the way you typically spend Shabbos is by having, people often have a family or two for Shabbos. Our poskim, when I spoke to them about having Shabbos company for an avel or being Shabbos company, I think Rabbi Willig or Rabbi Shachter, I don't remember which one said which number, but one of them said, up to two families, the other set up to three families. Well, what they both meant to say is whatever's normal, whatever's not a party atmosphere, whatever's normal for a regular Shabbos, depending on the community that you live in, so that you're allowed to do. But once it becomes like a party, once it becomes like a big thing, so then you're not allowed to do that even on Shabbos. The Rush quotes from a Ravid that if a person is Masi Yasom V'Yasom, if a person helps a Yasom V'Yasom or an Ani V'Aniya get married, the Shem Shemayim, and if he doesn't participate, Yes. Batal Hamaisa, the whole thing is going to become batal. Then it's mutter la'achar shloshim yom al avivi imo, even within Yud Beis Chodesh. And the Ramban says, I don't understand, why would you be matir such a thing? The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, lav dafka that the shidduch is going to be misbatal. It means that the chassan and kala are going to be upset that the person who put them together and the person who's arranging everything is not able to show up. In the Behuda Madura Kama Yardeya Simukuf, he says, no, kipshuto, it's only mutter b'toch Yud Beis Chodesh if you need to be there, and your absence is going to make it that they can't get married. Then you're allowed to go within Yud Beis Chodesh. The Ramah in Sif Beis writes that the minig is not to eat at any su'uda betok shloshim on Shar Krovim and betok Yud Beis Chodesh alav v'imo if the su'uda is outside of your house. But then the Rama writes, if the suda is betoch beso, it's mutter even for a sudas bris mila, and kol shekein for sudas that aren't simcha associated, even betoch shiva. However, the Geshar Chaim writes in Parachav Aleph, we're not knowing that way unless you are a Baal Bris yourself, meaning if the Aviya Ben is sinning shiva, so then you can have the Suda betoch beso. The Rama writes that after shiva for other krovim, after shloshim, lav v'imo, he's allowed to eat besudas bris chutz mi beso. So the Taz says, what are you talking about? I thought there's no chiluk between toch shloshim l'shar krovim and toch shloshim lav v'imo. So why should it be that toch shloshim lav v'imo is not allowed to eat out of sudas bris, and toch shloshim l'shar krovim he is allowed to eat out of sudas bris? So he says that we shouldn't be mekel b'toch shloshim lav v'imo against the achra of the Rama, but it's just a little bit strange, the Taz says, that we would have such a din that we'd be mechalik within shloshim, meaning if the whole chumra of v'imo is that the avilus is extended for yud beis chodesh, we didn't keep it av aim. Okay, I understand, but that shouldn't affect the shloshim. Why would that affect the shloshim? But nevertheless, the Rama, for some reason, is mechalik between the shloshim of v'imo and the shloshim of other people. In Rav Moshe, in Tshuvas Igros Moshe, he says that if you're a Yedid or a Karov, you're allowed to go to the Sudas Bris Mila on Shabbos, because that would be considered Avelis Pefarhesia, meaning if you're someone that they realize, everyone knows, is a very, very close person, would never, ever miss the Bris, and it's Shabbos, so then you're allowed to go. And the Pnei Baruch, he quotes from Zalman Margolios, that you're allowed to eat for Onik Shabbos by a friend's house, which is typically done, even for Suda Shlishis, and even if the Suda Shlishis goes into goes into the night. So again, in general, when it comes to Sudas Mitzvah, so the Rama writes that the Minagavash Kenazim, actually before we get to when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov meal, the Isser is to eat a meal with friends does not apply in the same way. You're allowed to have guests for Shabbos and Yom Tov meal, you're allowed to accept an invitation to be guests at a Shabbos and Yom Tov meal, but it should be done within reason. The Rama writes that a Sudas in Shin Tzadi Aleph Siv Gimel, that the minhag of Ashkenazim is that an Avel doesn't partake of a Sudas Mitzvah outside of his home during Shloshim or during Yud Beis Chodesh for Aviv Imo. That's regardless of what the menu is. Again, it depends on the type of Su'udas Mitzvah that we're talking about. Meaning, one may make a chiluk between a siyum versus, let's say, a wedding or something like that. And we'll discuss weddings in a little more detail in just a moment. Let's see. There are lots of different categories of Sudas Mitzvah. So when it comes to a bris, let's talk about bris for a second, then we'll talk about weddings. When it comes to a bris, so if a person is an avel, but they're not related, then he should not participate in the Su'uda. But he's allowed to show up for the actual bris itself. I mean, if the actual bris is in the shul, if it's the baby's parents or grandparents, then they can eat the meal of the bris even betoch shloshim, right? They're allowed to have even betoch shloshim, and they can even dress up, but as soon as the meal is over, they have to remove, that's what the Rama writes in Shin Tzadi Sif Beis, that as soon as the meal is over, they have to take off their nicer clothing. The moel or the sandik could participate in the meal after shloshim, and perhaps even b'makom tzorech, even during shloshim, because there are such shitos that you're allowed to do that. So I remember when my son Yisrael Yaakov, my second son, was born. So the bris was on Chol HaMoed Pesach, right? He was born before Pesach. The bris was on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and he was born betoch. Not just Betok Shloshim, he was born 2 weeks, I think, yeah, Betok Shloshim, of when my uncle passed away, when my uncle Yisrael Yaakov Leibowitz, my uncle Jack, passed away, and my cousin, my first cousin, my uncle Jack's son, Rav Natana Leibowitz, who many of you know if you've ever gone to NCSY Kollel, so he was still in Shloshim for his father. But we thought it would be very meaningful for him to be at the bris of the first child that was going to be named after his father. Now, he has a Yisrael Yaakov also. I'm sure anyone who's been an NCSY column knows Yaakov. He has a Yisrael Yaakov also. He was born after my Yisrael Yaakov. But Rav Willig told him he can come to the bris, but he should absolutely not come to the Seuda. So my cousin did the Kriyas Shem. My father did the Kriyas Shem. My cousin did the Amida the Kriyas Shem. But he did not attend the Seuda, which makes a lot of sense. He's not the Aviya Ben. He's not the grandfather of the Ben. But he's a very close relative, and he's certainly allowed to be there. There's no Isser in being there for the bris itself during Shloshim. Just to be there for the celebration is an Isser. What about weddings? Now, weddings come up, you know, this issue is something that's like there's a lot of misunderstanding, I guess you would say, about how to attend a wedding or whether you're allowed to attend the wedding. And when, you know, I could be the waiter, I could be the photographer, and then everything becomes mutter. It's like, you know, all of a sudden you're allowed to do everything. So where does that come from, right? It doesn't come out of thin air. That must have come from something, the idea of serving as some sort of function. So there are a lot of levels you have to discuss weddings also, because sometimes a wedding means that the father of the chassan is in shiva, right? That's a very different situation than, let's say, a very good friend of the family is in Yud Beis Chodesh, right? I mean, these are different circumstances. So each circumstance has to be assessed on its own. The Rush writes, he quotes from the Re Barzaloni, that you're allowed to go to hear the brachos and visit, but not for eating at the wedding. And the Ramban writes that it's aser that for anything. And he says you have to stand outside to hear the brachos. And the Gos Hashri says if they need him for a minyan, then he can be there to eat together with the chassan. So Rabbi Kiveger quotes Agos Hashri, that's matir if they need him for a minyan. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that an avel could be panim chadashos, because kol zman that the suda can't happen without him, so then it's going to be mutter. So Shulchan Aruch and Shin Sadi Alef Siv Gimel quotes two deos. If he's allowed to go to the chuppah shalo b'shas achila just to hear the brachos, or does he have to stand outside to hear the brachos? And the Ramah says he shouldn't go at all when they're omdim sham b'mizmutei chasen v'kala, when they're standing there in an obvious way as chasen and kala. Rav Vazner and Shevet Alevi Yardes and Reshut Gimel says that if you're allowed to go to the chuppah, don't worry about the small amount of music that's played by a chuppah. That's not really klezemer. That's not really what it's about. The klezemer thing is more like during the dancing when it's going to be more of a celebration. So the Ramah says that yesh matirin, that an avil can eat during Sudas Nisun or Bris Mila with the Mishamshin. With the Mishamshin, what does it mean with the Mishamshin? With people who are otherwise serving the wedding, as long as he's not b'makom simcha, like he's in a bayis acher, and yesh osrim, and he says v'chei noagin, only that the avil should be mishamisham if he wants to eat bebeso, better to be mishamisham than to be sholchan lo mina seuda, than to have them send him from the seuda. So the Aruch HaShulchan Tzif Yud Gimel says that's dafka shimush in the base hamavashlos u base arichus hamaacholim. He can work on the kitchen staff, but not lahoshitama cholim la kruim, not to be on the wait staff, because that's also simcha. But the olim is knowing that if we're allowing him to be of service in some sort, which we'll have to see in a moment, when we allow that exactly, that he could even be on the wait staff. In Pnei Baruch, he quotes from Rav Eliashiv that if you are there as a waiter, you are there as someone who is working, you need to work the whole time. You can't just like serve one hors d'oeuvre and say, okay, now I can celebrate. Now I get, no, it has to be, your heter to be there is to work, and therefore you have to work the whole time. Gesher Chaim in Perek Chaf Aleph says that summer matir after Shiva for Shar Krovim and after Shloshim for Avimo to be Mishamesh Besudas Nisuin and to eat from the Suda alone, but not ala Shulchan im Amesubin. So if they want to be at the wedding and it's after Shiva for Shar Krovim or after Shloshim for Avimo, yes, they can serve and be there, but they cannot sit and eat in the wedding hall with everybody somebody else. And the Geshur HaChaim writes, and that's the minhag only for krovim of the chasen and kala. The minhag is not to allow that beyond the inner circle, beyond krovim of a chasen and kala. Meaning there are sometimes, I know in the five towns, this is a big thing, that people say, oh, this person, she's like my mother. Really? How's she like your mother? Did she birth you? No, she did not birth me. Did she raise you? No, but kimat, my best friend is her son. So she's like my mother. That's why I'm allowed to hug her. That's why I'm allowed to kiss her. That's why for all of their simchas, if my friends aren't invited, it's a bizayon to all of their simchas. We don't hold to such. That's not, there's not... Krovim. For Krovim, the Geshur HaChaim says, that's a relative. The Geshur HaChaim says also, if the Avel is a brother or sister of the Chasan Kala, we're Mekel B'Toch Shloshim, even for Aveim, to be Meshamish B'Sudas and Yisurin, and to eat B'Yachidus. If the Avel is the Av or Aim of the Chasan and Kala, the Chasna is their Yom Tov, and there's also Tsar for the Chasna and Kala, if their parents aren't able to participate in the Suda, then we allow them to participate in the Suda even without serving. That's what I heard from Shachter as well, that the father and mother of the Chasna and Kala have an achrayus to be there, b'shah simcha, to be mishtate for their children. It's one of the chiyuvim that a parent has toward their child. And he allowed even I remember when I got engaged, my father-in-law, before our vart, before our, whatever you call it, the l'chaim, my father-in-law became an avel. My wife's grandfather passed away, and I asked if my father-in-law is allowed to participate in the l'chaim, in the vart. And Rav Shechter was mekel to be mishtatif even in the rikudim by the l'chaim, if it's going to cause the chasen and kala some sense of tsar if they're not able to participate, because that's the achrayus that a parent has toward a child. In the Aruch HaShulchan, he says by simcha of one's children and grandchildren, it's vaday mutar. And in Ramosha, in Nigros Moshe Yardei and Kufayin Aleph says that you should not eat besuda sachasan as a guest, as an invited guest to the suda, but achila kederach shochan amisharsim, you can't ask her, because that's not an achila shal simcha. So you shouldn't eat b'makom akavua. That's why you'll go to weddings sometimes and you'll see aunts and uncles who are in avelus on a separate table outside. Why does that help that they're on a separate table outside? That's exactly what Rav Moshe is saying, that they can't really fully participate in the simcha. Their absence is going to be noticed, so they're allowed to participate by eating outside, and that is a very, very common practice. So lemaisa, lemaisa, lemaisa. When it comes to let's start with this. Well, when it comes to during Shiva, if someone's child is getting married during their own Shiva, a member of David Willig married off a child when he was sitting Shiva for his, I forget which parents, but when he was sitting Shiva, I think it was for his father, he married off a child. So the Avel is allowed to attend the chuppah, but should not remain around for the rest of the wedding if he can help it. But Rav Moshe thought that as a parent sitting Shiva, they can attend the wedding because that's their achrayus. They just shouldn't have a makom kavua at a table, but they should just work the room and just, I guess, munch at different places. But they could wear regular big day chasana, and they can dance, but only with the chasan or kala, meaning the father with the chasan, mother with the kala. They're only allowed to dance with the chasan or kala. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein paskind. And Rav Moshe even extended this to grandparents as well, because they're trying to participate in the wedding. That's sort of their progeny, and they're therefore allowed to participate in that way. They can't bathe or shave or take a haircut for the wedding, but they're allowed to go to the wedding. They certainly could be there for their children, and they could dance, but only with their children. Sometimes very often at a chasana, there's like a separate circle that breaks off for the parents and their friends. That shouldn't happen. You're not allowed to be mesameach the parents and their, that are avelim during the wedding. The Rama writes that an avel could say birchas erusin and nisuin tachas achupa in a beis hakneses, meaning he could be a mesada kiddushin. In the Pnei Baruch, he quotes from Shlomo Kluger and in Shuvas Tov Tam Vadas, Chelek Gimel Simin Reish Mem Aleph, that a Masada Kedushin could even eat by the Seuda if it's Litzorach Parnas, could sit by the Seuda but not eat if it's Litzorach Parnasasa, if he needs it for his Parnasa, if that's the practice, that part of his Parnasa is getting paid to be at the weddings. So weddings are tricky. So maybe let's take a moment. Let's not, forgetting about the case of Shiva. So Shiva we already covered. Let's talk about Yud Beis Chodesh or Shloshim for Shar Krovim when it comes to a wedding. Let's just go through point by point of the wedding, or piece by piece of the wedding, and what a someone who's not a relative is allowed to do at a wedding. So an avel can show up to the Kabbalah's Panim to say Mazel Tov, right? That minimally he's allowed to do, provided that there's certainly, if there's no music playing there, or he's not, or it's just background kind of music, but he's not participating in any sort of dancing, and there is no dancing going on. If the chuppah is in the same room as the meal, then he should not attend the chuppah. But if the chuppah, as often happens, is in a separate room, then he's allowed to participate in the chuppah. Again, even if, as Rav Ozner pointed out, even if some music is being played. As far as going into the ballroom, if he's not a relative, so he should not enter the place where the suud is happening. That's not for him. As we said, relatives to dance with the chassan, yes, but for other people, that's not a part of the wedding that they should participate in. What if you're a relative of the chassan akala? So again, parents and grandparents of the chassan akala could go to the wedding, and even during shloshim, and and they can participate, just don't have their own dancing with their own friends. Only the dancing should be limited to dancing with the chassan and kala. Siblings who are avelim could go to the wedding if their absence is going to be a real diminishment of the simcha of the chassan and kala. But it's not quite the same as parents, so we're noted to be a little more machmir when it comes to siblings. So they shouldn't eat the meal in the normal way, but they could nosh a little bit, and they also should only dance with the chassan and kala. And as soon as sometimes it's like you take turns in the circle. So first comes the grandparents, and then comes first comes the parents, and then the grandparents, and then the Masada Kiddushin, and then the brothers, and then whatever. Like there's a whole Seder Advarim. There's usually that one friend that's like doing the arranging of who gets to go in when, and takes charge of the wedding. It's always good to have that guy. It's not good to be that guy, but it's always good to have that. I mean, it's a miserable job, but it's always good to have that guy. I had one friend that was never that guy, but at every wedding when he wanted to dance with the chassan, he would just start screaming, "The Zaydi, the Zaydi, the Zaydi," and everyone got out of the way, and he went in to dance with the chassan. So, but it's if a person but as soon as that dance is done, as soon as you as a sibling got to dance with the chassan and kala, then you can leave, meaning then your absence is not as noticeable. When it comes to aunts, uncles, cousins, not as much. It's not, that's not going to diminish the simcha as much. So for the most part, it would be considered like someone who's not a relative at all. And if they want to participate in the wedding, then they do it. That's where they need to participate by helping in some way, by working in some way. And so long as their work is going on, they're allowed to stay there. But they cannot sit down and have a regular full meal in the wedding hall. Sitting in a side room, like we said, some poskim are makel based on that Ramah that they could then sit in a side room. And I think that's the common practice, that if they're going to want to go into the hall, they need to be doing some job in the hall. If they're going to be outside in the same Malzav and just the family doesn't want to leave them without any food, so you could set up a separate table for them outside. I remember at one of the Berman family weddings, the Berman family is cousins with Rav Yankel Bender, the Rashiva of Darche Torah. Bender is an Americanized version of Berman. I don't know, they both sound pretty easy to say, but for some reason his side of the family changed the name to Bender, maybe anticipating the close association with YU, and you know it would be bad for his yeshivish street cred. But so they're very close, and they come to all the simchas. That's why at the last Chag HaSmicha, Rabbi Yaakov Bender was up on the stage at the last Chag HaSmicha because Julius Berman was being honored. So you know, he's not going to not come if the Julius Berman's Ari Berman's Rabbi Ari Berman's grandmother saved Rabbi Bender's entire family from Europe. Like, it's a very close... Anyway, so what was I saying? Yeah, so Rabbi Bender and his was in Avelus, so one of the Simchas, so they set up a table for him outside, and that was done, al pi the psak of Gedolei Poskim on all sides, and, you know, in the modern Orthodox and the Yeshivish side, and that's perfectly acceptable, it seems, as a way of participating, as a way of being there, to say Mazel Tov without actually participating in a wedding, when it's someone who's going to be very important to the Simcha. What about, you know, we're talking to future Rabbanim and Rosh Yeshiva and principals of schools, what about someone like that? So, you know, that is a certain achrayus that a Rebbe has to a Talmud to be able to participate in the wedding of the Chasen and Kala. So they recommend to minimize in some way, but still, if it's going to cause a lack of Simchas Chasen and Kala, that they're able to get a dance with the Chasen if that's the... if that's what's going to be necessary. Is Arya Kamenetsky here? Arya, I see. What was your father's psak during Velus when your grandfather? I don't remember.
He didn't go.
He didn't go at all?
I don't think so. It was great for him.
Yeah, that was Rabbi Willick's psak, not to go at all?
I believe so. I could double check.
But... wow, okay. So, Maisa Rav. That's what, I seem to remember seeing him like show up at some point to say Mazel Tov at a bunch of weddings. Maybe he didn't stay? I don't know. Well, let's double check that. Because, yeah, okay. Because I don't think I went a year without seeing him, you know? So, like, that's where I see him, at weddings all the time. Okay. Now, very close friend is tricky. You know, it's very, very tricky if, like, it's a best friend. You know, there is room to be makil for a best friend if it's going to cause a lack of simcha for the chasan, you know, we have to be careful with how we use the definition, you know, how we define the term best friend. You know, a person can't have 70 best friends, right? Like, a best friend has to be someone who's really extremely, extremely close. What about other simchos? What about other sudos mitzvahs? So the Geshar Chaim writes that all kinusei mitzvah, bris mila, pinya ben, bar mitzvah, tanoim, siyum aseches, are not included in simchas mereus, and even though the mitzvah itself is misameach, the avil is allowed to be there shalo b'shas ha-su'uda. He's allowed to be there shalo b'shas ha-su'uda, and Rosh Hashanah says he can even snack, just if there's any rikudim or there's any music, he shouldn't participate in that part of it. As far as the su'uda siyum masechta, the Pnei Baruch quotes three deos, as far as su'uda siyum, the shach in Reish Mem Vav Sukkot Chav Zayin quotes from Maram Mintz that it's mutter to be mishtatef betochid beis chodesh al aviv v'imo, even if the avil himself was not mesayim the mesechta and he's just coming to be mishtatef. The Beis Lechem Yehuda holds that it's only mutter if he himself learned, but if the other if the other lomdim had to see him and he didn't learn with them, it should be aser, and that's what a number of gedolei hora'ah hold b'zman hazeh. And the Chachmas Adam writes that lefi minagein, like the second day in the Ramah, that it is aser b'kol simcha, even a suda siyum is aser no matter what, even if he did learn. As far as the suda's bar mitzvah, the Dagum Ravava writes over here that it's like a siyum asechta, as long as the bachra bar mitzvah darshins, or it's a bobayom, it's the day that he actually becomes a bar mitzvah. Now obviously if it's the kind of bar mitzvah where it has nothing to do with the simcha shel mitzvah, there are some bar mitzvahs which seem to relate to Hollywood or sports and don't really relate to mitzvahs very much, and there's barely a Dvar Torah that can be heard at Bar Mitzvah, that's much more difficult to be matir. Rosh Shlomo Kluger and Chuvas Tuv Tam V'das Chel Gimel Sum Pei Vav Aser's bar mitzvah, and Prey Baruch, he says that an Avel B'toch Shloshim who makes a bar mitzvah for his son, he could be Mishtatef in the Su'udah. Just try to, again, minimize how he sits at the Su'udah. He shouldn't have a makom kavua, but he owes it to his child to participate as fully as he can in the bar mitzvah. So when it comes to a bar mitzvah, it's a little bit more a little bit more tricky. There are all sorts of, you know, Chanukas Habayis Rav Moshe talks about. Rav Moshe writes that if you have a Chanukas Habayis in Yardeich El Gimel Sim Kuf Samach Aleph, that since not everyone makes a Chanukas Habayis, so there's no reason you should be able to go. Prey Baruch quotes Yesh Matirim, and as long as they say Divrei Torah there, but Pashtus is you shouldn't go. If there's an upsharon, you get that all the time. So he can go and trim the hair, but he should not participate in the party, even if he's a grandfather of the child. Usually the upsharon is like a children's party. It's not people who don't take themselves too seriously, usually don't make like a whole catered affair out of an upsharon. I guess that depends on the community. Maybe I only know about the community that I'm associated with, but I would imagine it's not something that's that people take that people go overboard with. So again, just to get clear about the bar mitzvah, because bar mitzvah comes up a lot. So to participate in a regular way at a bar mitzvah is a problem. To stop in and say Mazel Tov at the beginning before dancing and music happens, that's always going to be mutter. Again, we're talking Yud Beis Chodesh or Shloshim. Not going to be mutter during Shiva, but to stop in even if you're just a friend. Parents and grandparents of the Bar Mitzvah boy could participate in the Bar Mitzvah, eat, do everything, wear nice clothing, dance, whatever they can. Something should be diminished in some way to take away their own simcha, but not to take away chas v'shalom from the kids, from the child simcha. Aunts, uncles, cousins, also should try, whatever is needed in order to not be obviously taking away from the simcha of the bar mitzvah boy. If it's taking away from the simcha of the parents of the bar mitzvah, but the bar mitzvah boy really doesn't care at all, which is often the case, he doesn't care if his aunts and uncles are there, he just cares that his friends are there, and the parents care, so then he should be like a friend. The aunts and uncles should be like a friend. They should show up at the beginning and say Mazel Tov, and that's it. The Yalkut Yosef in Simin Yuchesos Tezayin says that an Avel should not do Kiddush Levana during Shivas Yimei Avelus. If he has time left after that bracha, to say the bracha after the Yimei Avel are over. But if he's choshesh, it's not going to happen, then he could do it betoch Shiva. But he shouldn't be Yotzei Chutz Lebeso in order to be Mevarich Ba'asara. That's based on the Maseches Sofrim. I think we discussed that one already, right? We discussed Kiddush Levana. We said discussed it Lagabe the Shalom Aleichem, right? Okay, let's get to, what time is it? Do we have... So I'm just trying to prioritize over here. Let's get to going. Let's skip getting married for now while one is an avel, and we'll talk about Yitzia mi Pesach Beso when one is an avel. Before we get into all the dinim, as far as it's important to note what the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sim Shin Sad Gimel Siv Dalid. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Yitzia mi Pesach Beso eino mehadvarim ha'asurim ba'avel. Yitzia mi Pesach Beso is not one of the dinim of avelus. It's just that he has no reason to be outside of the bayis because he's not allowed to do business, he's not allowed to socialize, so what's he going to do? Va'od k'deishi is boded bebeisav leishka chaveilusok sheelchis lebnei adam umitamza asul lelech b'chol lebeis haknesses lespel mishum sheyesham bnei adam arbe. He should avoid social situations. Shul is a social situation, so he doesn't go to shul. That's why the minion comes to him. V'lchein be'emes yeshes a tzarik lava latzeis linyan amutel lo bimeiav lo. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, if there's some reason that he needs to go out for some mutter reason, go and binyan davar avin chiyotzi b'zei yachal latzeis b'layla v'lo biyom netmias bnei adam. Then at least then he should go at night when people won't see him, because everyone will think that it's totally inappropriate. V'im adover hechruch biyom, kugon shasar kore lo lavo, dafka biyom, the president calls for him, dafka during the day, yachal elech rak yisatif shleyakru b'nei adam. He should wrap himself up, put on his sunglasses and a hat or something, you know, put on a disguise, make sure that people don't recognize him. V'cheinim behechruch lalotzis l'derech, yachal lotzis rak shayir l'bli linol menalim, v'imein ba'efshari b'lo menalim, yasim efer b'tocha menalim. He should not wear leather shoes, he should go out as he has to. Sometimes people have to travel during Shiva because they need to sit Shiva a little bit at home, even though they were sitting Shiva by in a different city. So they have to travel. So better to do all these traveling things at night, but it's not technically a violation of the Avelis, and that's why sometimes you'll see people who sit Shiva for a few days in one location and somewhere else in a different city, and that's okay. That's okay. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's al hamora lahavin, it's up to the posik to understand how necessary it really is. So going to a Beis HaAvel or Beis HaKvaros, the Brais and Dav Chaf Amud Beis tells us that an Avel in Gimel Yam Marishonim doesn't go to the Beis HaAvel. Mikan ve'elach is holech v'yoshev bein ha'avelim. The Torah in Siman Shinside Gimel says, so too when it comes to the Beis HaKvaros, Shosha Marishonim does not go. Mikan ve'elach holech v'omid b'shura etzel Avel. And after that, he stands together with the Avelim, even though it's not his relative that they're burying right now. Beis Yosef quotes that that's only if there is enough people to be the Nosei Amita and Kovreha. But if you don't have enough people to carry the Mita and to be Kover, then you could even go Biyom Rishon. The Ramban writes that the fact that he goes between 3 and 7 days is only within his neighborhood. But in another neighborhood he shouldn't go, and all that's Paskin Shulchan Aruch Shinside Gimel Sif Aleph. So the Ramah adds, V'lorisin hogin kein hachshav kein aval holich l'beis hakvaros l'beis avil kol shiva v'av shashalav chiyuv hu el rushus u'me'achar sha'achshav ein misnachim in k'mo b'yimeim shevi al tasa odif. So that's the practice. The Ramah writes, the practice is that an avil during shiva typically does not go to a funeral, he does not go to be menachem avil. Typically that is the practice, that they do not go. If it's a desperate situation, for some reason they must, then they must. So it's important to know the halacha. But the minig is that they don't go and everyone forgives. No one thinks that, oh, how could this person not show up? They don't have to show up. They're sitting Shiva. They don't have to show up to the funeral. What about going out of your house for other reasons? So the Brais and Chaf Gimel Menalev tells us Tanakama holds that in the first week, the Avol should not be Yotzei in Pesach Beis. So in the second week, he's Yotzei Ve'eno Yoshev B'Mekomo and his Eino Medaber. In the third week, he's Yoshev B'Mekomo Ve'eno Medaber. In the fourth week, Hareu Kikol Adam. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Rishon of Shnia, he's not Yotzei in Pesach Beis. So Shlishis is Yotzei, but not Yoshev B'Mekomo Ve'eno Medaber. And then Revius V'chule, it goes on like that. And that's what how Rashi understands in the Perush Harif on Yedal and Amar Aleph and the Rosh and Simon Mem Vav. So Beis Yosef says that's what it sounds like from the Rambam as well. So the Torah writes in its Kordon Shulchan Aruch and Sif Beis over here that you don't need 3 full weeks. When the week that the person died on and the 2 following weeks are over, that's already Shavua Revius. That's already the 4th week. So as far as Yitzhiya Mipesach Beis, so during the first week for Dvar Mitzvah, the Torah writes is Aser. Even though an Avil is Chayv in all mitzvos, that's only mitzvah Shebegufo. But to have to go out of his house for some sort of chesed or something like that, it's my Tomchei Shabbos turn or something like that, no, he doesn't go out for something like that. Beis Yosef points out that that's based on the Tshuvas HaRosh in Klal Chav Zayin, and the Dark Emotion, Os Gimel, says that that is against the Nemuka Yosef, who says that for a Dvar Mitzvah, he is allowed to go out. So the Beis Yosef himself quotes Nemuka Yosef, and he says that therefore he thinks that it's mutter for an Avil to go to a Beis HaKnesses, Lishmoa Tfila or Megillah, Vekolishkein B'tishba of, where everyone is an Avil, and therefore it's like going to a Beis Avil. And Beis Yosef quotes Agos HaShri, that a Moel, Zchalel of Mila, Tochimei Evlo, in Shlosha Yom Rishonim, he should not go Mipesach Beiso, and then afterwards he can go after he davened B'toch Beiso to go do the Mila. So if there's, obviously if he's the only Moel in town, then he could even go within the first 3 days. But if there's another Moel, then he should wait at least till after the first 3 days are over. And again, as we pointed out, going out at night, lacha shetichle regel min hashuk, so to speak, that poskim are much more makel on if he needs to get somewhere, that's when he should travel. What about going to shul? So the Ramban quotes a Ritz Geis, that an avil is allowed to go to shul even on weekdays, because if he's allowed to go to the Beis HaAvel from day 3 through day seven. So to base tefila lo kol shekein. And the first 3 days, he's not allowed to go to base avel, but only the base avel, but a base tefila, he for sure can go. That's how the Ritz Geis says. The Rush quotes a Shita Saraivid that no, not only is he not allowed to go on a weekday, he's not even allowed to go on Shabbos to the base HaKnesses, because Shabbos Rishonim means Shabbos Mamish, doesn't only mean the first week. The Torah quotes both Deos, and he says they're both incorrect, and rather, we do what we do, that during a weekday, he doesn't go to shul, and on Shabbos, it's totally in the minhag, and our minhag is typically that we do go to shul on Shabbos during the Avelus. And Kol Kaminhag HaMedina, that's where Rav Haigun writes. Okay, so once an Avel is in shul, so then there is a halacha, or a practice, about being Mishanim Mekomo. So let's discuss that practice a little bit. So the Braisa says that the third week is Yoshib B'Mekomo Veinu Medaber. Hagos Maimonios writes that if he wants not to sit B'Mekomo and to be Medaber during the third week, he could do it that way also. He could flip it. So the Rama says, now the minig is that we're not Yoshib B'Mekomo Kol Shloshim, and I love Vimo Kol Yud Beis Chodesh. Meaning, Medina de Gemara doesn't sound that way at all. Medina de Gemara, it sounds like even within Shloshim, you're already allowed to be Yoshev B'Mekomo. And that is the din. But the Rama says the minug is that as long as your Avelus lasts, you're not Yoshev B'Mekomo. And he says, Vein the minug ze ikr, but ain't the Shanos minug. There's no real basis for this minug. It's not based on any Gemara. But that's the minug. So the Orcha Shulchan in Sif Yud Beis says that there is a shorish to the minhag, because all minhagei tanchumen that they used to have, we don't have anymore, and therefore this we can't be mechalik between Shabbos Rishona and Shniyah and Shlishis. So we associate it with other dinei avelus of Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh, meaning we don't have these distinctions anymore between first week, second week, third week. Where we draw our lines are Shiva, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, and therefore we're going to have to fit this din into the lines that we're familiar with, says the Aruch HaShulchan. And he says it's not a stira to the Gemara, because the Gemara is also only talking about Minhag B'Alma, and Hecha Denog Nog, and we have a different Minhag. Beis Yosef writes in Dibur Masal Kasa and Muka Yosef that Yasha Kocham of that is a big Yasha Koyach to those who are knowing not to be Mishana Mokom on Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses. Muka Yosef says that he disagrees and that you should be Mishana Mokom even on Shabbos. In Darkei Moshe Aruch he quotes the Beis Yosef and he doesn't disagree, but in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch he says like the Muka Yosef and he says Vechein Haminag, ve'in l'shanos haminag. So the Muki Yosef says that we're Mishan in the Makom even on Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses. The Rama says, yes, that is our minag, and therefore even on Shabbos, the Avel should not sit in his regular seat. Rabbi Kivager quotes that even according to the Rama, you're allowed to be Mishana only if you come to the Beis HaKnesses Miba'od Yom, where it's still a weekday. So you started with Mincha on Erev Shabbos. So then you're Mamshich into Shabbos in that seat. But if you come to the Beis HaKnesses after Baruchu, you should not be Mishana Mekomo, because that is Avelus Befarhesia. In Tshuvas Ha'elvach HaShlomos, in Shintas Vav, he says that Shuri Makom Shabbos is not Avelus Befarhesia, because Avelus Befarhesia is only that which is knowing B'toch Shiva. We mentioned this in previous Yurin. That the Isser of Avelus Befarhesia only applies to Dinim of Shiva. You're not allowed to do Dinim of Shiva Befarhesia, but that which only applies during Shloshim is not called Avelus Befarhesia. In the Aliyah Rabba, in Sim Tavkov Mem Zayin, he says, Beferush, V'chein B'shinui Makom, Af Sheba Achar Baruchu, Kimon Shenogu Bo Kol Shloshim, Lo Havi Dava Befarhesia, V'af Shelo Naschil B'chol L'shanos, that it's not considered Avelus Befarhesia is perfectly fine. In the Gilead Marsha, he l'chora disagrees with this yisod because he says Valzes Hamachti Lakel B'Meivli Alab Amari Marin Shal Yisrael Rabbi Kiveger Shalol L'Shanos B'Shabbes Kivadai Harav B'Iro Ein Darko L'Shanos V'Hava B'Farhesia. He says, whoa, there's a difference if you're the rabbi, because if the rabbi is not going to sit in his seat, that is a major Avelus B'Farhesia. But he said Mekal Makom B'Shabbes Shniyah, where the Shinui is Minadin, he just didn't go to shul. He just didn't show up to shul because he thought going to shul and sitting somewhere else would be avelus b'faresia. In Maram Shik, in Yerodeus, in Mishin Samach Tes, he says that the rav of a city should not be mishana mekomo mimizrach beis haknesses because he sits there not for his own kavod but for the kavod at Sibur, and he doesn't have the ability, the right, to be mochel on the kavod at Sibur. Rav Shefta thought he should at least do some sort of shina, move to the other side of the Yaron or something like that, do some sort of shina makom, some sort of nod to the practice of being mashana makomo. In Tzitz Eliezer Chil Zayin Sim Memtes, he says that you don't have to be mashana the place where you stand because the ikra shina makom is only for yeshiva. So if you stand the whole davening, then you don't have a problem. However, not all the achronim agree with that. In Pesachei Tshuva, he quotes a Chamudei Daniel. Okay, so you bring Mishana Makomo, so what does that mean? So where do you sit? So Pesachei Tshuva quotes a Chamudei Daniel that you should be Mishana Makomo at least Dalet Amos from your original place, because otherwise it's considered to be a single Makom. In the Tshuvas Maram Shik, he says that Kol HaMishana Makomo HaMiyuchado, even the Makom HaSamuch Lo is good enough. And Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, Simeshen Tazvav, he says that a Shinoi L'Shvach is not called a Shinoi. The Klal is that whatever Zayn Derech Lasos Kain, if not for Avelus, right, and you're only doing it mitoch avelus, that's called the shina makom. But if people are always trying to upgrade their seats, you're always trying to get closer, you're always trying to get a better seat, so that's not called shina makomo. It has to be a downgrade in the seat. So typically we assume that the further you are away from Mizrach, right, there are halachos like this. The Gemara Mesachs Bracha says you're not supposed to daven in the Dalet Amos at a Samach LePesach. Right, generally speaking, the chevra that's there, right, that's in the Dalet Amos Samach LePesach, are not the chevra that wants to be there. Right, that's usually the chevra that's interested in being the last in, first out. That's a person who wants to be involved, wants to be engaged in the tefillah. So the closer to the front you are, the mizrachvant is considered to be the most chash of a seat. So closer to the front is an upgrade. So the avil is supposed to downgrade. And our practice is that the avil downgrades for the entire Yud Beis Chodesh, even on Shabbos. I think that's the common practice. And we try to be makbid, like the Pesachei Tshuva said, that it should be Dalet Amos. So bottom line, Dalet Amos away, further away, and it should last for the entirety of the Yud Beis Chodesh, Al Aviv V'Imo. So that's, we'll stop there. Now, we have three shiurim left, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I'm not sure exactly how to attack it. Maybe we'll spend one day on Shmur Rechoka and Likud Atzamos, one day on Miktsas Hayom Kikulo, and one day on, I'm going in reverse order, and one day, let's go in order. Tomorrow, maybe Miktsas Hayom Kikulo, Shin Sadi Hei, on Wednesday, Avelus on Shabbos and Yantav and Chol HaMoed, which is Shin Sadi Tes to Taf Aleph. And then on Thursday, Taf Beis, Taf Gimel, Shmur Krova, Shmur Rechoka, and Likud Atzamos. So, maybe a little rapid fire and not as thorough, but at least that way we will get through all of the Avelus. Let me just look in the chat, which I neglected to look at the entire time. Let's see how many things I missed. Why is the lack of simcha tanug enough to make it mutter? Don't we have other things that aren't simcha? Haircuts, fingernails, that is still aser. Elliot, I don't know what point that was an hour ago, so you have to tell me what I was talking about then.
It was by Srika.
Ah.
Yosef quoted it.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to define what's called tanug and what's called the lack of, what's called the lack of simcha. I mean, you could hear that this is certainly different than getting a haircut. Combing your hair is different than getting a haircut. It's just like basic maintenance. Aaron Weiss says that by Bukharians or Persians, there still is the custom people pay for their portion when they come to a wedding. Yes, that's, by the way, great minug. That's such a good idea. Everyone's saying, oh, we should keep the COVID weddings. That's a stupid idea. If you keep the COVID weddings, so no grandparents should ever attend a wedding, or no one should ever have any friends. That's not such a great idea, but let the parents not go into debt, I think, is a good idea. is the parents had to be dance joined even for Shiva or just during Shloshim. So Yoni, I think the poskim are makel even during Shiva to get one dance with the chassan, to get one dance with their child, because I'm pretty sure that's what Rav Shachtu told me also, that's not at El Chaim. You know, at El Chaim, I don't think he would have said to go at all. Natan Rav Willig Gizmachmer, was that a response to Yoni?
No, by showing up to the weddings.
Oh, by showing up to the weddings, if
by
what?
Rabbi Kamenetsky.
That Rabbi Kamenetsky couldn't show up to the wedding.
I didn't hear it specifically in that context, but in other contexts, yeah.
Okay, we have to ask Ari. Ari's got to do his homework. Is Ari still here? Don't see him anymore? Okay. Rav Willig saying that the simcha at a bar mitzvah is for the father and at a bat mitzvah is for the girl. Right, he has that whole shtickle Torah. Should this have enough nafkamina in terms of a best friend or a parent at a bar mitzvah? Yes, l'chora it should. I mean, Rabbi Willig's, you know, the famous machlokas between Rav Avadia and Rav Moshe about a bat mitzvah, right? Whether there's any inyan of bat mitzvah. Rav Moshe says, I be mevatel bar mitzvahs. I think they're all a waste of time. And Rav Avadia says, what are you talking about? Bat mitzvah celebrates a girl that's higia legil mitzvahs, and it's wonderful. And so Rabbi Willig says, intuitively, people have a sense that a bat mitzvah is not quite the same as a bar mitzvah, but it feels like it should be something. So he halachasizes it. He says that a bar mitzvah is a simcha for the parent because of the mitzvah of chinuch. He's saying a baruch shepatrani. But our minhag is we don't say a baruch shepatrani on a girl, on a bat mitzvah, for, let's say, because there's no mitzvah of chinuch on a daughter, or at least the mitzvah of chinuch is not the same for a daughter, and therefore it's not the father's simcha in patering his chiyuv of chinuch, it's only the girl's simcha in entering gil mitzvahs. So by a bar mitzvah you have a double simcha, it's the father's simcha and the kid's simcha, and by a bat mitzvah it's only the kid's simcha, and therefore he says, nafkamina is, a bat mitzvah should be more like a children's party, it should be a party that the girl and her friends would enjoy, and a bar mitzvah should be more like an adult party, it should incorporate elements of both parents and their friends and the children and their friends, so that they're, so you know, it's like it's interesting because he takes like the minhag of what people do, this is like in very common practice, and he puts halacha to it. I think I wrote about this in one of my svarim. I think in Chelek Beis, which one did I write about Baruch Shepetrani on, Chelek Beis or Chelek Aleph? Maybe it was Chelek Aleph. I think in Chelek, I always keep them handy here. I think toward the end of Chelek Aleph, I wrote about this. Yeah, the second to last siman in Chelek Aleph. So I think so we talk about this a little bit. A bas mitzvah. I must have quoted Rabbi Willig over there. I imagine I did. But that's Rabbi Willig's creative solution to the whole thing. Okay.
Shouldn't it be a bad thing that he no longer has mitzvah chinuch for his son? He loses the mitzvah.
Yeah, so you have to look at Baruch Shepetrani a little. We got to take a look at that simon and see why it's a simcha. I had a guy in my shul that insisted that it was the saddest and worst thing to say. Like, he wanted to cry when he said that bracha. But it's a question whether it's a Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think, is mechalik between if you did a good job or if you didn't do a good job. if you did your job with simcha properly, of chinuch properly, rather. So take a look there. I think I quote the Maran Mekomos. But I hear what Gabe is saying is that, l'chora, according to Rabbi Willig, would chapa nafkamina between a bar mitzvah and a bat mitzvah, as far as whether the parents' friends, whether the Yikr Simcha Shal Mitzvah is the parents' Simcha Shal Mitzvah or not. It's a good point. I'm giving a series of shiurim to high school guys and to adults over the summer. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, but I'm looking for more ideas. The title of the series is Rav Moshe Feinstein and His Halachic Adversaries. Each one I'm going to take a major psak of Rav Moshe that someone, one of the B'nai Doro, disagreed with him about. And I want to find a different posek. It's a 17-part series, and I want to find a different posek for each that disagreed with him for each major one. So I have like the big ones, you know, like artificial insemination, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to miss that one. I'm looking for, if anyone knows of any really great machlokas between Rav Moshe and the Kleisenberger Rebbe, or Rav Moshe and the Chabina Rav, I'd be very, very interested. Even Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish, I'd be very, very interested. So let me know your ideas, and hopefully I'll be able to put this together. It's a good, you always need a shtick, you know. So it's a good shtick to it's a good way to chop people a little bit. But okay, and I refuse to use the sefer Ma'an al Igros. I'm not looking there. I think that's up in courses. Okay, so all right. Have a great day, everybody. I'll see you all tomorrow.